Arizona News Radio, Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton, please. There's a tentative deal in the five-day-old bus driver strike.
The negotiations that I was lucky enough to witness, both sides were committed to getting the job done.
But union spokesman Frank Zuckerbrow says there's more work to do.
Right now there's a tentative agreement which is being read and reread, making sure that whatever the handshake was is put in writing properly.
A Glendale teen arrested for stabbing her younger brother.
The sister stated that she got into an altercation with her brother, and while chasing him through the house, she picked up a kitchen knife and threw it at him, stabbing him.
Tucson Democrat Steve Farley questions legislation that sets up a special missions force along the border.
I think it's time we stop playing around with these things and we actually deal with real solutions that actually secure the border.
Arizona Weights and Measures shuts down some gold buying shops.
We hit 45 of these little stores, 18 of which we had to civil penalize.
George Ketter, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven Extravica service of the 99 cent only source. 4 o'clock hour, gang. Here we go. Look for an accident northbound loop 101 at Shea Boulevard. Also wreck Camelback at 7th Avenue. Another accident eastbound I-10 at 7th Street. Another wreck westbound I-10. This one at 67th Avenue. Easter will be here before you know it, so hop in today to 99 cent only stores and get all of your Easter supplies like baskets, fillable eggs, candies, and toys for only 99.99 cents each. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Almost summer-like weather continues the rest of the work week. We are 85 again tomorrow, down to 83 on Friday, 82 Saturday. And then the big change, the storm Sunday and Monday, scattered showers here in the deserts, 66 Sunday, 59 Monday. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we're at 81 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's Legalese, the radio show with your host, Jack Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
It's a huge step, admitting that you need to quit. When that clicked in my brain, that I had that chemical dependency, I felt like I wasn't in control of myself. I felt like something was in control of me. When you call the Ashline, they don't really judge you about anything. They don't force you to do anything. They just help me believe in myself, believe that I had the power to do that.
You can quit. Ashline can help. Call today, 1-800-556-6222, or visit ashline.org. It's free.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where even the chaff is wheat, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? Finding discounts means clipping coupons. False. By sitting down with a farmer's agent, you'll get access to discounts that could save you hundreds on home and auto insurance. If you said true, put down the scissors and start saving on more than just canned yams.
We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
To speak with a farmer's agent in your community, call 888-96-FARMERS.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
When I grew up,
you're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my bed.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. You know, I think this is just about our one-year anniversary for the show, so congratulations to Legalese. And I got to preface the show by saying I am going to be taking the show a little bit easy because I had surgery about a week ago. I donated a kidney to my mother, who's quickly recuperated, and the kidney started working immediately, and she's doing amazing. So the focus of today's show is on guns in public places. We'll be talking about two bills, Arizona legislature bills, Senate Bill 1474, House Bill 2729, which both cover whether guns should be allowed in public places. Senate Bill 1474 is about whether we should allow concealed weapons to be carried on college campuses. We'll be talking about that in the second half of our show. We've got a couple guests from Students for Concealed Carry, which is a national group, as well as a guest from the Arizona Board of Regents to present, I guess, the other side of that issue, why they don't want to have guns on campuses. For the first half of the show, we'll be talking about House Bill 2729, and we have a guest on the line, State Representative David Gowan. Mr. Gowan, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good. I'm doing surprisingly good, considering that I just got off some pain meds a few days ago.
Yeah, well, you know, good for you. Take care of your mother.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Am I saying your name correctly, Gowan?
It is. That's correct, Gowan. Okay. Irish.
Irish, yeah. You're sponsoring a bill, House Bill 2729, which would allow concealed weapons to be carried into public buildings such as police stations, courts, city halls, libraries, public pools, and the state capitol, as well as the public events. But I know there's some catches there. For example, if the public event already has armed security or metal detectors, then explain to us how that works. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me give you the premise here. Right now, if you put a sticker up in the window that says you can't carry guns in a public building.
Right, we've seen those. We've all seen those.
Yeah, you know, a law-abiding citizen like you or I who has a gun would hand it over.
Right.
Well, not necessarily the citizen that may not be too law-abiding, may not give it up, might be the guy that you would want to give it up, and thus my family, my friends, and I are insecure in our body there if they come in with theirs. And
right. So we're talking courts, we're talking city halls. I go into court a lot. I managed to sneak a glass bottle of Starbucks in there once, and I was really, really proud of myself for that. But they won't let you take any kind of weapon into court. Under this bill, would I be able to take a gun into court?
Under this bill, it says if you put the sticker in the window, then you have to secure my belonging, me. You have to secure my family. You have to secure my friends by saying that everybody will be de-armed, per se, with either a armed security guard who would have a detection device, a wand of sort, or some type of device to walk through that would detect metal or such.
Right.
Or you can have a law enforcement officer that's post-certified or a federal officer because they're able to search. They have the right to.
Okay, so to answer my question before, the answer is that nothing will change, for example, in a court because, of course, the court already has metal detectors and guys there who are frisking people and all that stuff.
Correct. All your courts up this way, most of those have them. I think most of those up here have them. I know some of the rules.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I've been to some of those courts. And like
I live in a rural county, Cochise County, and we do have it down there in Cochise.
Right.
But you might have a smaller county, may not. But that gives them – that's why we amended the bill to allow for the police officers.
Okay, so
– as well as, you know, yeah, fairs, and those draw a lot of people, and to burn them down with metal detectors or something in that nature. We thought we'd go with where they always have police officers at those anyway.
Yeah.
Deputies, sheriffs, and especially up here at the state fair, they have all that. So we thought that was feasible because they do have the right to search.
Yeah, so I'm already seeing that the point of this bill, it's probably inaccurate to say that you really do want to, you know, have libraries and public pools, you know, be places where you can carry a gun. It sounds to me like the point of this bill is really more to encourage these kinds of institutions to get the proper kind of you know, metal detectors and security to keep guns out.
Well, what it is intended for is to make sure if our Second Amendment rights or our state rights, which is in our Constitution, allow us to defend ourselves in the state Constitution, if we have something up that says we cannot defend ourselves, then you need to make sure nobody's there to harm us.
Right. Yeah, because I got to tell you, I mean, I read this here, this description of House Bill 2729. I thought, well, you know, that can't be a good idea to let people just walk into a court or a library, you know, with any kind of weapon. But you're saying that it's built into the bill that if they do have some kind of a you know, whether it's a metal detector, some kind of you know, something to keep weapons out.
Well, and that's the correct. That's the other part. If you, we still allow for that to take for the guns. If you're going to make sure that everybody is disarmed, if you're going to disarm me, make sure everybody's disarmed.
Right.
And of course, again, that goes back to us having the right to defend ourselves. And if me as a law-abiding citizen, which I would, I see a sticker, I'd give my gun up. Not necessarily a case for everybody. And as you know, sounds like that's what your radio show goes over, a lot of
I just took the bar
laws and such. And
I just took the bar 2 weeks ago, and I've been to a lot of courts, sure.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations on your anniversary. I heard that, too.
Thank you.
But get back to that point when you're when you come back to into a public facility, and I'm saying I'm giving my gun up.
Right.
The criminal doesn't necessarily give that gun up, and in fact, when you make a law, you're making a law for a law-abiding citizen. So if I'm going to make a law for a law, and that's the way I do with bills when I vote, I say, how's this going to affect my citizenry? How are their rights going to be affected? Because the criminal is not going to care. So if I get my gun up, the sticker's in the window, and there's nothing, no metal detectors, no officer there to defend me, to do any search if warranted, then we're essentially saying the criminal can get away with a criminal
act. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. We've got a couple minutes here before the break, but I see where you're coming from. Like, again, when I first saw this, I thought, wow, this is radical, but it's really not that radical, because if they already have, like you say, whatever they need to get that sticker, then it's nothing really changes. For example, most courts already have the metal detectors. Nothing changes. So let me ask you this. What kind of institutions, then, are you really targeting with this, that are public institutions where you feel they should have the security measures and they don't?
Well, public buildings, period. You know,
state
public buildings, you get an department of, any of the departments, or you go down to, as you're saying, with the courts as well, especially that's where some hairy stuff could happen. But you're right. They already do have those metal detectors for the most part. And if they don't, I gave them an ability to get an officer to go there to make sure that they can search needed.
And you're right. There are some rural courts where it's a little scary. You just walk right in, and there you are standing in front of the judge. They should probably have something. Okay, we have to take a break here.
Sure.
Today we're talking about having guns on public campuses and in public buildings in general. Our guest for the first half of the show is State Senator Ron Gould. This is Jack Wilenchek filling in for Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Enjoy the music and memories of Frank Sinatra, Friday, March 16th at the Wigwam Resort. The evening begins at 6 p.m. with a buffet-style Italian dinner hosted by National Italian American Foundation Chairman Jerry Colangelo. Then at 8 p.m., Tom Dreesen, comedian and personal friend of Frank Sinatra, shares his experiences and memories of Old Blue Eyes in a Sinatra tribute. To reserve tickets, call 602-224-2344. That's 602-224-2344.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Right now at MyTrade America, you can get a barter line of credit from $2,000 to $50,000 with no credit check. We'll help you boost your business big time to lower your cash costs and generate new sales. With services available like advertising, website design, signage and bookkeeping, and personal services like restaurant, auto repair and vacation rentals, get the barter line of credit you need today, $2,000 to $50,000 at MyTrade America, MyTradeAmerica.com. Fees and restrictions apply.
Have your voice heard. Tune into the Savage Nation, weekdays from 5 to 7, only on KFNX.
As
try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacation.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck filling in for Dennis Wilencheck. And I have to apologize because I think I said the wrong name there right before the break. Again, I just had surgery literally 1 week ago today, so I think maybe, even though I've stopped taking the painkillers, I think that the lingering effects of my meds are interfering with my brain.
You're a tough man. One
Thank you. That would be our guest, Representative David Gowen. I think I said Ron Gould before the break.
Gowen, yes.
Gowen.
Yeah, you had me right the first time.
Representative Gowen is the sponsor of House Bill 2729, which would allow concealed weapons to be carried into public buildings such as police stations, courts, city halls, libraries, public pools in the state capitol, as well as into public events. But like we were saying, there's a very big catch there. If any one of those is already providing security, then nothing changes, right?
Right. You know, there's a reasonable expectation that that we'll be protected if we can't protect ourselves, and that's what this is about.
Right.
It's just making sure that there's reason in the room here.
Right. And
first of all, we have a constitutional right, U.S. constitutional right, Second Amendment, the right to people to carry and bear arms.
Right.
And then you have in the state constitution, you have the right to protect yourself, defend yourself, your family, friends. So you have two clauses that pertain to what this bill would do. If it's not saying, hey, take all your stickers off and let everybody go free and we'll be like the Wild West. You know, they said that about the constitutional carry that we passed a couple years ago. And they said there'd be shootings in the streets and all this crazy talk. And so far, nothing has come of it. In fact, it just gives the law-abiding citizen their right back. Again, I just want to reiterate that when we make a law, we make it for the law-abiding citizen. We don't make it for the criminal because the criminal is not going to obey the law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a right, who are you taking it from?
Right.
And you have to keep that in your mind when you're making law or voting on other members' bills.
Right.
Create law in that effect. And that's all we're looking for is just a reasonable expectation to be able to protect ourselves, our family, our friends.
Sure. Mostly it seems like you're just looking to encourage these various public buildings to get the security that they already should have.
But it's one way or the other. You're right.
Yeah.
Either let me defend myself or make sure you defend me.
No, like I was saying, it's a little bit shocking. I think I was in, I want to say it was like Graham Superior Courthouse about a year ago, and you know, there's no security there whatsoever. You just walk right up, and there's the judge sitting in session, and it's a little jarring. The other thing I think to emphasize here is that 9 other states already have laws like this. Is that right?
You know, I don't know how many other states do.
Yeah.
But this is not the first one. I know that we ought to.
Right.
You know, I know that we need to make sure that we can defend ourselves if need be. I hate to be caught in a situation where nobody can defend me and I can't defend my family. It's an absurd thought to think that a sticker in a window just alone without anything else is going to prevent something.
There was a similar bill last year that Governor Brewer vetoed because she felt it wasn't well written. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yes. Yes. There were a lot of people being exempted out and such, and we haven't done a lot of that this year. What we've tried to do is make sure that we're taking care of the public entities, you know, that are operated, controlled by the state or any agency or political subdivisions of the state itself, and stayed away from private entities as such. So basically, if you have a public building, mm-hmm. and you've rented it out to a private entity, they don't have to follow the
right.
rules of the state. They follow their own rules because it's their rented property. It becomes their property for the day. And
okay.
Those are a couple of issues that we hope we've been able to correct.
I understand that the Arizona Association of Chiefs of Police opposes the bill and says it would be very costly to enforce. I guess that, again, goes to the root of what we're talking about here, that the way these public buildings can preserve the status quo, more or less, is to get, you know, the security, get some kind of security in there, which would be very expensive. But what's your answer to that?
You know, you're right. There are concerns over some costs, but of course, the solution is pretty simple. If you're really concerned about those costs and don't want to defend the rights, I would say, then just take the sign down. It's free. Costs zero. If you're worried about those costs, just take that sign down. Look, you, the citizens of Arizona, we have the absolute right to bear arms from our Constitution. It's a right. It's not a privilege. It's a right. Mm-hmm. We also have the right from our Constitution to defend ourselves and our family and friends. We have that right. So I'm not saying let's be absolute about it, even though there is an absoluteness to what the Constitution dictates. What I'm saying is, if you're going to make me give that absolute right up in a public building, then make sure everybody else is, or take the sticker out.
Yeah, I think we'll be talking about a similar bill later on the show that deals with guns on college campuses. I want to say, it may be in your bill, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a provision that says that it has to do with keeping gun lockers, that if somebody I guess one of these public buildings would be allowed to keep gun lockers where somebody could check in a gun, or explain to me.
Well, it's already law. That is the law.
Oh, that is the law now.
It is the law. We're just transferring.
Okay.
Within the statutes. The law states that you have to have lockers if you have that sticker up.
Right.
That already is the law. It's just moving over here with this piece. And it's stating, hey, you know, if I do have to give that up, then prove that everybody else has to.
So where's the bill at right now?
It is in the Senate. It's passed out of Senate June. So it's already gone through the House.
Okay.
It went through my committee, Military Affairs and Public Safety, went through our rules, and then up through our whole House, which I say third reading, and that's what I want to say because it's easy to say third reading. Third reading means a final read before it goes to the Senate.
Right, right.
So it's left the House, gone to the Senate. It's been right on the floor over there and gone through Senate June. Now it's waiting on their rules. After the rules, it'll go to the floor.
Okay, so, you know, in other words, there's a good chance it'll go through. Do you think the governor is going to sign this?
Well, I sure hope so, because we worked on it hard.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about absolute rights. It's kind of sad you have to go through certain bills when you talk about absolute rights. I think sometimes we forget about our Constitution, and we just make laws. And the Constitution is there to prevent the government from taking rights. You know, and sometimes we forget that. And I'm not just talking about Second Amendment. I'm talking about many of the laws we make.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a particular reason that you wrote this bill, right?
This bill, the Arizona Civil Citizens Defense League and I got together and put this bill together and put it forth. Yeah.
Was there a particular kind of germinating event? Was there a particular reason that you got together to write this bill?
Well, again, when you see, it's like you said, you had your example where you can just walk into a courtroom and, hey, just a sticker is going to protect me. Well, you see that a lot, and I don't know how that's going to protect you. So we thought, how do we fix this? And this is the way we believe it needs to be.
Hmm. Okay. You said the Arizona Citizens Defense League?
Yes.
As well as the
NRA are on board as well.
Okay. So the Arizona Citizens Defense League is something akin to an Arizona NRA, right?
They're akin to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They're not connected to them, but they're in that nature.
Right. All right. Well, so, in your eyes, what's the criminal profile here that you're trying to protect against? I mean,
any criminal that would not obey the law. I mean, the law is if you have postings, which have to be out in plain sight when you're posted, everybody has to give up that gun, the right to defend themselves with their arm. And put it in a lockbox. That's what the law is. Well, this would say you're going to guarantee me that criminal who's not going to obey that law will, because he's either going to be searched by an officer or he's going to be wanded or go through a metal detector.
Yeah, and again, we're talking with Representative David Gowan about Gowan. I can't get that right.
You got it. Gowan.
It's meds. All right, Gowan.
You're all right. Hey, we'll forgive you. You saved your mother there. That's good.
Thanks.
You're a good son.
I appreciate that. We're talking with Representative David Gowan about House Bill 2729, which would allow concealed weapons to be carried into public buildings. So when we're talking public buildings, I mean, again, we're talking courts, we're talking libraries, What else? Police stations, I suppose.
Well, you're talking about operated or controlled by the state, period, or any of its agencies, political subdivisions, which, you know, counties, cities. When you talk about police stations, you have police officers there.
Yeah.
So if they have the sticker up posted that says you can't carry in here, well, if you look like you're carrying, they have the right to search you. And, well, you've just broken the law.
Well, like we were saying before, you're explaining there's an exemption where whatever the building is, it puts in some kind of security or metal detectors. Obviously, a police station would already have that. Most courts already have that.
And if not, they have the police officers.
Right.
We're giving them that other step, which I believe they need. And again, also, you want to talk situations like I said with the fairs. Mm-hmm. Many of them are run by the county entity, the government. And how are they to do? How are they to get out all the wands or the metal detectors and cover so many exits? Well, they don't have to. They can have the deputies, yeah, off-duty police.
You're saying there's very cheap ways to enforce, to get that armed security or metal detectors in there. Okay. We got to take a break here in about 30 seconds, but again, we've been talking with Representative David Gowan about House Bill 2729 for allowing concealed weapons into public buildings, which isn't as scary as it sounds, because there's a big exception to the bill that says that if the building puts in some kind of security or metal detectors, then, you know, then nothing changes.
Right, and I tell you, it's a little more scary if you don't have all that, because you don't know who is armed or not at that point.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank you again for coming on the show, Representative
Thank Gowan. You for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
God
thanks.
Bless you. God bless your mother.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're taking a break. This is Jack Wilenchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
CNN Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn. A tractor trailer and a school bus full of kids collided in southern Pennsylvania this afternoon, killing at least one person and injuring dozens more.
As many as 70 students were believed to be on board that bus. We know that 6 students have been taken by medical chopper to area hospitals. 22 students have been described, in the words of a 911 dispatcher, as the walking wounded.
CNN's Lisa Sylvester reporting. The Transportation Security Administration may begin modifying how it screens older Americans, people 75 and older. It says it will start using new procedures at checkpoints at 4 airports on Monday. The families of 2 victims of the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting massacre won a $4 million lawsuit against the university today. Families argued the school should have notified students sooner and could have saved lives. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a tentative deal in the 5-day-old Phoenix bus strike, but union spokesman Frank Zuckerbrow says it's not over yet.
It's up to the people that are on this line to say yes or to say no. Right now it's gone enough, whereas we're not calling off the strike.
They're hoping to possibly have service restored in full by Friday. The Pima County Sheriff's Department looking for a Tucson man who walked away from a group home.
Mr. Garcia is described as a Hispanic male, 5'10" tall, 155 pounds, and has short salt and pepper hair.
He has a history of violence. A 53-year-old man died after going into cardiac arrest hiking Piestewa Peak in Phoenix.
You know, when you're out hiking, make sure you know your capacity or your physical fitness levels, so you don't get yourself in trouble.
3 coyote attacks in a Peoria neighborhood.
Coyotes came up to them and bit them while they weren't even aware the animal was there.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service once again of the 99 cent only stores. Lots of activity. Let's get to what we can. Look for an accident off to the right, eastbound I-10 at 7th Street. Another wreck westbound I-10 at 67th Avenue, as well as in the Southeast Valley westbound I-10 Railroad. Look for another accident, Lincoln Street at 7th Street. 99 cent only stores and the American Red Cross have partnered to help you prepare for emergencies. Remember, the real disaster is not being prepared. Start preparing today at the 99 cent only stores. Here's your Wednesday FOFO.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Almost summer-like weather continues the rest of the work week. We are 85 again tomorrow, down to 83 on Friday, 82 Saturday. And then the big change, the storm Sunday and Monday, scattered showers here in the deserts. 66 Sunday, 59 Monday. Jim Howe, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently, we're at 81 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the second half of Legalese with your host, Jack Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Don't miss a minute. Tune in for Arizona Wildcats basketball on KFNX.
Freedom. You have the right to remain silent. That's what I want. If you give up the right to remain silent, freedom. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Freedom. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my
to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek, covering for Dennis Willinchek. I said at the beginning of the show I'm a little bit out of it because I just donated a kidney to my mom about a week ago today. Even though I've stopped taking the pain meds, I think they're still lingering a little bit, and I'm messing up names and messing up issues. But nevertheless, I do know that today we're talking about guns on college campuses. We've got two guests on the phone, both representatives of Students for Concealed Carry, David Burnett, who's the Director of Public Relations there, as well as Cody McKenzie. Are you guys on the phone?
I am here.
Hi.
Good, good. The first half of the show, we were talking to a state representative, David Gowen, about his bill to allow concealed weapons into public buildings, which includes everything from courthouses to police stations to libraries. But now we're talking about a bill that would allow guns only on, I suppose, state university campuses. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you guys, let me ask you first about your organization, Students for Concealed Carry. That's a national organization, correct? I'll turn to you, David.
Yeah, that's correct. First of all, Jack, I definitely want to thanks for dedicating some time to this issue. And we're probably going to cover a lot of issues, but not all of them. So anybody who wants to learn more about us can come to the website, concealedcampus.org.
Okay, okay. Your national organization that I guess is established for this one purpose alone, allowing guns. Allow concealed carry onto college campuses.
Right. Well, essentially, our purpose is twofold. We got started 5 years ago. We're coming up on the fifth year anniversary of the Virginia Tech shooting, which was in April 2007. And the first purpose is to educate the public about concealed carry, and specifically the idea of carrying on campus. And the second intention is to try to overturn these policies, which stack the odds in favor of an armed, murderous psychopath.
Okay, well, I'll probably get Cody's take on this, too. Arizona already has some very, I would consider them very liberal gun laws, although that seems like a contradiction, but some very permissive gun laws. Do we want to have this privilege of carrying concealed guns on campus as well? Is that something that, that we need, given that we already have such permissive gun laws? Go ahead.
Go ahead to Cody or David?
David, go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. We understand that the colleges do not want guns on campus. Quite frankly, me as an individual, we as an organization, technically we don't want guns on campus either. However, we want them to get serious about these policies.
Right.
Right now, the college is enforcing their policy by, as Representative Gowan said, a sign. A sign or a sticker on the door. And, you know, I'm sorry, but we've kind of spied a fatal flaw in their cunning plan to prevent gun violence on campus. You know, I mean, this is an important point to remember.
Right.
Virginia Tech was a gun-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
All of the other college shootings that have taken place in this country have occurred on gun-free zones. So the fact remains that a gun-free zone enforced by signs is not an effective policy. It's not going to keep guns off campus.
Right. And that was the impression I got from Representative Gowan, too, that he's not so much for actually, you know, having guns allowed into libraries and courthouses, because there's a big exception in that bill that says that, you know, if the courthouse puts in or already has some kind of armed security, has metal detectors, then they don't have to, you know, do anything different. It seems to me what I'm hearing from you, too, is that you're more about just pushing this issue to the forefront than anything else, which I can appreciate. Cody, Let me ask you how you feel about Arizona's, again, I would consider them to be very permissive gun laws. Would you agree with that as it stands?
Well, first I'd like to, you know, again, thank you for allowing us to come on the program and bring
sure.
up these issues.
Sure.
Arizona has some of the most lenient gun laws in the nation. And when you can carry in almost any setting in this state, you know, except for the ones that you've mentioned earlier, public libraries, that type of stuff. I mean, you can walk into Walmart, you can walk into Best Buy and be carrying a weapon concealed for protection.
Right.
This bill would allow you to extend that option of being able to protect yourself on campus when there's not necessarily someone there to do that.
Right. Well, let me ask you, go ahead.
Well, and, you know, and that just brings up the point is why whenever you step over that imaginary boundary, should you lose that option to be able to protect yourself when you can protect yourself pretty much anywhere else in this state?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Would your organization be satisfied if a college campus were to, say, increase its security, well, we'll just throw out a number, like by 400%, if ASU were, you know, I went to ASU, I'm trying to think about the security there. I guess I never really saw it, so I'm having trouble thinking about it. Is that really your goal here? Is just to get, you know, more security on the college campuses? Would that satisfy you if you know any given college campus increased its security personnel, its campus police by, you know, 400%? Would that be enough for you?
Well, it's not just the police you need to look at. You also need, I mean, you know, you can walk onto a campus right now and you know, you don't have to go through any metal detectors. You don't have to do anything like that. You can just walk on. So unless there's a way to ensure that everyone else on that campus is unarmed, then I don't think that it's right to be able to take away that response or that option from the responsible law-abiding citizens. Because the people that are going onto those campuses, they're not. If they want to bring a gun, then they're already criminals. They're not following the law to begin with. So unless there's a way to ensure that everyone on that campus is unarmed, then that would be amazing. But until that happens, or until there's a way to do that, I think that the campus carry option is the best option to be able to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. For the last segment of the show, we have on a guest from the Arizona Board of Regents, who's, of course, going to present their position and I guess, the other side of the story. And I understand that all three Arizona universities have already said they intend to prohibit guns inside buildings, even if the legislation we're talking about passes. I think then the situation becomes that the schools have to provide gun lockers, which cost millions of dollars. So my question to the two of you is, wouldn't that money be better spent on increased campus security? Is that the best result? David, do you have any thoughts on that? Is that a good turnout for this? Go ahead.
Yeah, earlier you mentioned the number of increasing its campus security by 400%. To me, there's only a few numbers that are absolutely essential in this debate: 24/7, 365, and 100%.
Okay.
And until the college campus can guarantee me protection 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and give me 100% guarantee that nothing's going to happen to me, then they cannot remove my ability to protect myself. Until they can guarantee my safety, they cannot stop me from protecting myself. And it's important to note, and you might even ask the member of the Board of Regents about this, mm-hmm. there are 220 campuses over six states that already allow campus carry, and the evidence certainly doesn't suggest crime goes up. In fact, the evidence points to the fact that crime may actually decrease. The criminals, this is a crazy thought, but criminals may actually fear armed victims.
Yeah. Are you hearing a lot of demand for this from colleges, you know, here in Arizona? I guess Cody, you're the Arizona guy.
We're hearing the demands from the students in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, the Board of Regents has come out against it. The three universities have come out against it. But there's a big student following that wants this option to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah. No, I know it's there. I mean, I personally, I guess it depends on the campus. You know, I've got a sister who goes to U of A, and it gets a little dicey down there. I was never too afraid at ASU, but I guess it all depends. Okay, we have to take a break here in 30 seconds. But again, you guys are from Students for Concealed Carry. You want to throw out the website one more time?
Right. The website is concealedcampus.org, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/.
Okay. I think you broke up a little bit there, but
facebook.com/concealedcampus.
Got it. Okay, I want to thank my guests, David Burnett, Director of Public Relations for Students for Concealed Carry, as well as Cody McKenzie, who's the Arizona Director for Students for Concealed Carry. This is Jack Wilenchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
This is Ron Sherman with live local talk on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. For a hard line on the day's events, listen in. We'll talk about what's impacting your life today. 1 to 3 daily on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Are you paying more than you have to for your home loan? Discover how to take advantage of the lowest interest rates in decades and put money back in your pocket every month. eLoan Choice has been authorized to offer new mortgage rates that are starting a new refi boom. Rates are at all-time lows, and that means lower interest and lower payments for you. Lock in your low rate for 30 years before rates go up again. You never know when waiting, even one day, could cost you thousands in interest payments. For a free rate quote to refinance or for first-time home buyers, call eLoan Choice now. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794. Our friendly professionals will help you find the loan that's the best fit for you to save the maximum amount of money possible and discover just how little you could be paying for your home. Rates may never be this low again in your lifetime, so don't miss out. Call 800-917-3794. Call 800-917-3794. 800-917-3794.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
I was gambling in Havana.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilenchek, filling in for Dennis Wilenchek. On today's show, we've been talking about guns on public college campuses and in public buildings. We've heard, I guess, the first side of the story from people who support allowing guns on the campuses and into public buildings. Now it's time to hear from the other side, which, frankly, I agree with. We have Mark Killian from the Arizona Board of Regents. Mark, are you on the phone?
I sure am. How are you doing today?
You know, as I've been saying all throughout the show, I just had surgery about a week ago. I donated a kidney to my mom, so I'm a little out of it, you know. And I don't know if the show is just going fast or I have no short-term memory, but I'm doing pretty good is the short answer.
I've been listening to you, and you're doing just fine. We appreciate your willingness to help
your mom.
Thank you
so much.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we just had a couple guests on the last segment from Students for Concealed Carry. And, you know, I got to say, I finished up my last year at ASU. My first 3 years, I actually went to NYU, and, you know, I got a little homesick and came home. But, you know, the whole city of New York, I'm not really sure what the law is there, but I think they have no guns in the whole city. So, I mean, an issue like this seems kind of, you know, irrelevant there. But, of course, Arizona has some very lenient gun laws, and we do have this issue, whether or not to allow guns on college campuses. So, Mark, maybe you can tell us how the Arizona Board of Regents feels about the issue.
Well, you know, we've had a number of discussions about this. And as you take the Board of Regents as a group, we're very concerned about student safety. In fact, I believe Dr. Crow said it's our number one responsibility, particularly as we have these young people that live on campus. Their parents entrust them to us for their safety, and we do everything we possibly can to keep the students safe. And to a large degree, we look at the universities as kind of an island of safety, if you will, where people can come and enjoy their freedoms of speech and so forth and find it a safe environment. And I think if you talk to police chiefs of our universities and our university presidents, the provosts and the instructors and students, we try and create those kind of environments. And so we basically feel that it's probably a place where we don't need to carry a bunch of guns. There are a lot of other places you can carry guns in Arizona and carry all you want, as far as I'm concerned. But there ought to be what I call a safe zone, and we hope the universities are that.
No, I agree with that. I do remember seeing campus police at ASU, and I never felt particularly unsafe there. As I was saying before, my sister goes to U of A. I actually did buy her a taser.
There you go.
And go ahead.
Well, there's a couple things, too. You know, ASU is doing a lot of things to kind of clean up the fraternity row mess, and pretty soon I think that'll all be gone. And that's where 80% of our crime has been, is over there. And so as far as I'm concerned, we ought to just take a bulldozer and bulldoze those frat houses over and run them off campus, okay?
Yeah.
But let me
reminds
give
me too much of Animal House.
Right. But let me give you an example of why one of the concerns I have. And I'm an alum of ASU. I went there back in the late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. And I was on campus during the time that Iran took our people captive. And we had a bunch of Iranian students there on the lawn right next to the MU who did a protest. Mm-hmm. And the emotions are running really high. And, I mean, there was an absolute riot. And campus police had to surround those guys, and they finally locked them up in the for their safety in the girls' locker room there by the old basketball gym.
Right.
And, I mean, there were thousands. I mean, they were screaming and yelling. Of course, I was right there with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I've reflected on this issue, as I've listened to all the speakers today, I've thought, my gosh, you know, thank goodness there weren't guns on campus then. I mean, that could have turned out to be a nightmare. And right. The other thing I remember
I can only imagine how Kent State would have went if somebody fired back, right?
Well, yeah, see? And the other thing is, one of the states I look at is Texas. Now, Texas isn't some bastion of liberalism. They had that guy that came on campus years ago, I think it was the University of Texas at Austin, start shooting people
right, I can remember that.
Okay, they took him out, and which they should have done, but there was no call, I don't think, in Texas or the legislature to arm all the students. And so I think to a large degree, these are issues that we need to be very careful about, and I think we can keep our students safe and make sure they feel safe when they come on campus. My concern is if we have a group of students that don't feel safe, then we as the Board of Regents, the leadership university, we're not doing something right. We got to figure out what it is.
Right.
And we need to focus on that.
Yeah, I asked the same question of some of our previous guests. Is there a lot of demand generally from the students at Arizona colleges, at Arizona campuses for concealed carry? Are there a lot of concerns about safety and security in the opinion of you or the Board of Regents?
No, we've had a few students, but not very many. And so, to a large degree, we gauge a lot of our discussions and decisions based on the demand that the students make. And, you know, we do have safety issues, and we try and get on those as quickly as possible just because of the liability risk. And that's the other thing I wanted to bring up, too, is that, you know, once you you invite the guns on campus, our liability goes up, and we get sued over everything.
Right.
And
insurance costs go up.
They do, yeah. And we're trying to keep cost of education down so that people can afford it. So that's a big concern.
I can see that. I mean, it just doesn't seem like a big priority. I'd also like to point out that, as I said earlier, for example, I bought my sister a taser. There's nothing. You're allowed to have a taser or pepper spray. Isn't that correct?
I would imagine so. I don't know about the tasers, but I'm sure pepper spray, because I've seen the girls carrying those on campus. So.
Right. And also, you're allowed to have a firearm in your dorm room, I would think. There's Second Amendment issues there.
Well, that I'm not sure, and we can get an answer for you on that one.
Yeah. Okay. But my point being that I don't see how this is such an immediate issue that you need to take a gun into your classroom is pretty much what this boils down to.
Well, I think that's what the bottom line is.
Yeah.
And if we're doing our job, and I think our police chiefs and their crews are doing the very best they can to keep our students safe, I don't see the need.
Yeah.
And I think the Board of Regents, we feel that way. And so to a large degree, you know, Arizona is a great state for the Second Amendment, and most of us, in fact, a number of the Board of Regents, I know they've got guns. And, we support that, support the right to carry, and some of us don't even believe you need to have a concealed carry permit. That, you know, when that came in, we thought that was kind of crazy. You ought to be able to carry a gun anywhere you want. But to a large degree, I've been involved in public policy for many, 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 many years. And one of the things that we try to do is create an environment on the universities that is a safe zone so that you can speak your mind without worrying about repercussions. It's a safe environment where students can come and feel like they can learn, and parents can entrust their students and their children to us to take care of and make sure that they have a safe and a good experience at the universities.
How do the campus police feel about all this?
Well, all three chiefs came out in opposition to the legislation. We had a hearing at the last Board of Regents meetings where they explained what they're doing. In fact, I think you can go online and see the safety procedures of the universities. In fact, I'd encourage you to invite all three of those police chiefs on your radio program and let them tell you what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think you'll be very impressed with the quality of work they're doing and what they're doing to protect students.
Let me ask you this. I know, of course, there's a lot of students at ASU who are from out of state and have out of state parents. How do they feel generally about the safety and security at Arizona colleges, and even about, I guess, these kinds of movements like Students for Concealed Carry? Do you find that the response from them is different from the in-state families?
You know, as far as I know, there's very few out-of-state parents that are clamoring for their kids to be able to carry guns on campus. Mm-hmm. And you look at ASU. ASU is one of the largest universities in the United States, if not the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's just not that great demand for it. And again, I think that goes back to, and if you look at all the other campuses, I think it goes back to the safety procedures and the hard work that the university staffs and presidents do to try and keep that environment safe. And you know, Dr. Crow has done a lot of good work to take the party environment out of ASU.
Right.
And changing the whole mode of ASU. And I think all the presidents are trying to do that. They're trying to make sure we have a safe environment. We take it very, very seriously.
Yeah, no, again, just talking about just ASU, I do remember seeing a lot of those call boxes all over the place. I imagine there's similar security at the other Arizona campuses.
That's correct.
Yeah, I always felt very safe there. So, again, I don't really know what the push is for this. I mean, maybe that comes down to some of my personal politics, too. In general, I don't really know what the push is for a lot of this.
Well, this is just my observation. When you get into the Second Amendment, this is one, and it's the same thing as property rights. there's a boundary that you hit between the individual right and the community right. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who believe in the Second Amendment, we don't like government telling us what to do about it at all.
Yeah.
Okay? But there are some situations where government does need to control the interaction between peoples.
Right.
And so the same thing is true with, you know, if you've got proper rights when it comes to zoning and other things like that. And
yeah.
So I think to a large degree we're headed on the right track. I think the universities are doing everything they can to keep our students safe. And, you know, you got to have faith in those police chiefs. And
right.
So I'd encourage you to have them on and let the public hear what they have to say.
Okay, I want to thank you so much. That was Mark Killian from the Arizona Board of Regents. I want to thank you for coming on the show. And this is Jack Wilenchek covering for Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese. Join us next week and tune in for Michael Savage.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-948-7434. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-948-7434. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-800-948-7434. That's 1-800-948-7434.
Thank you for listening. We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you KFNX's coverage of University of Arizona sports.